Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. From presidential interference in a balloon launch to accusations of campaign finance violations, the Dakota political junkies have plenty of state political stories to discuss today. So let's get things started. Noel Hamel is with us in our Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio at Black Hills, at the Black Hills Studio for South Dakota Public Broadcasting. He is a former South Dakota legislator and member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame. Noel, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And with me in the SDPB Sioux Falls studio, Dana Ferguson. She's with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader as a watchdog and government reporter. Dana, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's go ahead and start with the big news, and we'll start with Dana in Sioux Falls because President Trump is planning on coming for a Kristi Noem fundraiser gathering. We're not quite sure what all is going on. Give us an update of what we know right now.
Sure. What we know is that the president is going to be here on Friday. Exactly when and where have not yet been disclosed. Based on the invitation that many media outlets have seen, it looks like those who are willing to pay the $500 ticket or even more to get a photo with the president were notified of the time and the space where the event is going to be on Friday. There have been some vague details released to members of the media just for planning purposes, but just a couple days ahead of the event, we really don't know all that much. We know that the president is going to be here to stump for Representative Noem's campaign for governor. We've heard a little bit of opposition from Democrats who are not super happy about the lack of transparency or the amount of funding it's going to take for that. But again, not a whole lot is known at this time.
All right. And the reason the balloons can't fly is because we're talking about hot air balloons. There was an event scheduled in the area, and they have to keep the airspace clean.
You're right. So the Hot Air Balloon Association has said they were planning to do something on Friday evening. Balloons were set to fly over downtown Sioux Falls, but because Air Force One and the president are going to be in town, they're going to be grounded. They're not allowed to have anything within a 30-mile sort of radius of the airport, so that really puts downtown Sioux Falls out of their area, and so they've said they're going to cancel. It's unclear if they will reschedule, but we heard from a couple people who were disappointed, and then clearly several others said it's worth it to have the president in town, even if just for a little while.
All right, Noel Hamel, how unusual is this to sort of have this? The president hasn't been here to South Dakota before that we know of, but certainly in a campaign capacity. How big of a deal is it that he's coming, but yet we really know very little about where?
You know, one of the things that surprised me about this visit, not that he's coming here to campaign for Kristi Noem, but that they didn't have, you know, a public event, something that everybody could attend without paying $500 or $5,000 for a photo. You know, I would have thought that they would have made a little bit better use of access to the president, because he's always holding rallies and other appearances in other places. I know he carried South Dakota with, what was it, 64% of the vote, but still, I would have thought that maybe they would have incorporated another event or two with this visit. So I was a little surprised by that.
He's a strong support in South Dakota, and as Noel said, Dana, he certainly has large rallies or group events at other communities. What do you make of it? What are people saying about why it's so small in this case?
Well, we know he's going to be in Billings, Montana the night before holding a public rally, and he'll also be in North Dakota on Friday. It sounds like his schedule is fairly packed for the couple days leading up to it. And frankly, Kristi Noem doesn't have the tight race that officials in other states are looking at. We know that it's likely the president is weighing priorities where there are going to be tight races and likely spending more time in the areas where he could have a more significant thumb on the scale. So in Montana, it seems he could have some sort of difference in that Senate race. In North Dakota, I think he feels that way too, but it's unclear if he'll be rallying there or just having a private fundraiser. In my opinion, it seems like the president feels he needs to repay a favor to Christine Ohm. She was very instrumental to the White House in passing tax reform, and so I'm sure he's happy to be here, but maybe not feeling like this is the space where he needs to do as much work as in other states.
Noel, what are your thoughts? Because some people are, including the Sutton campaign, are saying this is an indication that the race is tighter than, maybe Congresswoman Noem would like.
You know, I was going to ask Dana about this. I think the Sutton people put out the results of a poll that showed that the race was fairly close. And, of course, you always wonder about polls, who conducts them, how the questions were asked, et cetera. The race may very well be closer than the general perception. When I was at the state fair over the weekend, I got quite a bit of feedback, not just from the Democrat, but the Republican tent, that the race was shaping up to be tighter than we've seen in recent years. So, I don't know. I was going to ask Dana if she was aware of the Sutton poll that suggested this was a closer race than thought.
To answer your question, I have only seen the poll results they put out maybe a month or so ago. And then earlier, or I suppose it would have been last week now, after the Trump announcement came out, the Sutton campaign had quite a press release that had sort of three separate components, which are stories I think we're going to follow up on today. But they certainly made the case that Noem's bringing in President Trump indicates that she needs that boost from Washington to do as well as she could in this race. They also made the statement that she's funneling money through the Christie PAC, which her campaign has told the Rapid City Journal is not illegal. It doesn't violate campaign finance rules, as it was set up to help support Christie Noem's campaign for office. And in addition to both those things, that statement also said that her running mate, Larry Roden, didn't set up his campaign committee when he should have, and that is a violation of state law. So we're waiting to hear more on that. They had a whole lot of trouble getting him on the phone to talk about it.
All right, let's transition, because Noel mentioned the state fair and we're talking about campaign finance. There's a couple things to talk about here. Let's start with Lieutenant Governor candidate Larry Roden. And Noel, the impact of there's some details that were not done properly, and it is a violation, according to Secretary of State Chantel Krebs, of the state's campaign finance laws. What happened?
Well, apparently, and this goes back to a report from the Journal, that Lieutenant Governor candidate Roden violated campaign finance law because he didn't set up a fundraising committee for that specific purpose. He was called on it, I think, by the Sutton campaign. But what I was surprised about was Larry Roden's response. He has a reputation of being a stand-up guy. He's very experienced. He's had leadership positions in the legislature. But when he was contacted about it, he didn't meet it head-on, at least according to the report that I saw. And then eventually the question about whether that was done properly was referred to his attorney, Matt McCauley, out of Sioux Falls, who then responded to the reporter. It just struck me as kind of a strange way to respond to an inquiry. I would have expected Larry Roden to have said, I had a campaign finance committee set up for me. Apparently, we needed to set up a separate one for the lieutenant governor race. We're going to cover that. We got that covered now. And then, that's pretty much the end of the story. But by not meeting it head on, it just gives the appearance that, you know, something more serious is wrong than is wrong. It, hey, you got to file the paperwork. You have to comply with the statute. It is a Class 2 misdemeanor. But why not just head it off? And so I was surprised by how the reaction went.
And I think Noel is referring to an article in the Rapid City Journal. You can find that at rapidcityjournal.com, written by Seth Tupper, where Seth reached out, or the Rapid City Journal reached out, and the quote is, we did do the filing, and then they asked why he filed late, and he asked to call back later, and eventually they were contacted by his attorney, according to that report in the journal.
Yep.
Dana, do you think this is going to... You know, what's at stake here? Anything? Is it just, does it sort of look like incompetence? Does it look like lack of transparency? Does it look like the Sutton campaign is making a big deal? How does it play out among voters, do you think?
I feel like it's hard to know this early just how much it's going to mean to voters. I guess we're going to find out later on this year, too, to what degree they care about these promises dealing with campaign finance, about transparency. Certainly in a year where we've seen all candidates really run on the message of anti-corruption, I can't imagine this helps you when you don't call back a reporter and address the problem. However, this is something we've seen going on back and forth pretty much all summer. We saw the Republican Party call out Democrats when they didn't file their paperwork correctly. Democrats had to hold another nominating convention, as did Libertarians earlier in the year, and Constitution Party members couldn't quite make it work, but they were supposed to hold another pair of nominating conventions. I think this is a year where, in some of these tighter races, we're going to see candidates really coming after each other for the little things, because they want those negative headlines for their opponents, and they want to be able to say they value this transparency, they want to see those laws upheld, and it's up to voters to decide if that matters to them or if that's something they care about.
Right. Let's go to the state fair next, because the attorney general's race, there was a some controversy and possibly another violation of campaign finance laws. Noel, you were at the fair. Give us an idea from your experience and the reports of what exactly happened with Jason Roundsburg and the Department of Public Safety for the state of South Dakota.
Well, I think that Trevor Jones, the secretary of the Department of Public Safety, did make a mistake. He invited this. This again is according to a story that we saw in the journal. He invited the Republican candidate Roundsburg to an event at the Highway Patrol tent in Huron, and he asked him to, I believe, introduce a Highway Patrol canine demonstration. It was a mistake. I mean, this is a political year. Randy Seiler, who's running for Attorney General on the Democratic side, complained about this, and rightfully so. You shouldn't have a sitting secretary in state government during a political year invite a Republican candidate, to participate in that event. It's not a huge deal, but, it was wrong and it was unfair, and I should point out that the secretary has since apologized for it. Roundsburg has gotten some good press over it, but also some negative press. Seiler, I'm not sure what the latest is on that. He at one time said that he was going to file a complaint with the State Government Accountability Board, but I have not seen the update on that. Again, it kind of is like the other things we've been talking about. These aren't major infractions. They're slips. They're stubbing your toe. And in a political year, they get a headline.
I'm looking at an article from today's Peer Capital Journal where Randy Seiler does tell the Cap Journal that he's filing an ethics complaint referring to the State Government Accountability Board. And he contacted Attorney General Marty Jackley about this, and so Marty Jackley said he was going to look at the statutes before deciding. That's according to Seiler in today's Cap Journal. Dana, a little bit about how this played, because this is, you know, this is the Attorney General race. So there's also this other element at play where Randy Seiler has an opportunity to say, hey, Jason Roensberg didn't know that what he was doing was wrong, and he wants to be your Attorney General. So this is not only for Randy Seiler an opportunity to point out a mistake, but it's an opportunity to point out what he would like voters to believe is a difference in experience level.
And that's something I think we're likely to see as a highlight of that race. We've heard it so far. I don't anticipate that would change in the coming months, but Randy Seiler is really going to aim to tell voters about his experience and attempt to highlight his opponent's lack thereof. It'll be interesting, too, if Attorney General Marty Jackley takes up that case. To some degree, it will be made public exactly what happens there. However, if the Government Accountability Board takes it, their process is really to go behind closed doors and to take those matters up privately. So unless Seiler provides some copy of whatever prompt he provides to that board, people wouldn't really know about it unless it rises to the level that the board would share that in their public report. Mm-hmm. And that might not come until the end of the year just because of the rules that they need to operate under.
After the election. So Secretary Jones is saying it was a spontaneous moment. He bumped into Roensberg. He said, hey, you want to come do this? And Roensberg said yes. How important is that distinction, Noel, that Trevor Jones is saying, you know, this was a, he's apologized, he said it's a lack of judgment, he's apologized personally to Randy Seiler and publicly. How important is it that he's saying it was a spontaneous sort of thing? It wasn't something they had planned to do.
You know, it who knows? It may well have been. You go out to the state fair, it's a state event, there's an aura of gaiety and festivity. I have to tell you, things can happen spontaneously. Let me give you a little sidebar example that maybe I should have called Seth or Dana with, but I'm watching the youth rodeo on Saturday, and we're watching the steer wrestling, and at an interlude between contestants, an announcement came over the speaker that said that President Trump was going to be in South Dakota, and there were tickets available for $500, and I'm thinking to myself, wait, is this, why would this announcement be made to the audience watching the youth rodeo? And as soon as he made the announcement, I'm considering it, and a man sitting behind me immediately said in a loud voice, if I had $500 like that, I'd burn it. And I thought, why am I sitting, is it come to this? I mean, are we getting political even at the youth rodeo? And so secondarily, why would an announcement like that be made over the speaker at the youth rodeo? Is this some sort of Republican plot? I mean, what is going on here? So I don't know. Goofy things happen. I think that all of this becomes pretty insignificant. I'm not saying it shouldn't be reported, because it absolutely should be, and I'm glad that it is reported. But I think in the end, voters will look at the more serious issues between the Attorney General candidates and the other candidates and make their decisions based on whether those issues, how they align with their own personal views.
I wonder about this, though, as we have to meet the candidates, and many candidates are coming in. A lot of the folks who are running, you know, for the first time, Dana, are sitting here and telling us, you know, people don't trust their lawmakers. And so it feeds into, fairly or unfairly, feeds into a narrative of, yep, this stuff is sort of brushed aside far too often, and we need to pay attention because those details, like what is the law, matter.
Certainly, we're hearing that more and more, and I think this year, especially on the heels of both Gear Up, EB5, IM22 repeal, et cetera, there's a notion among candidates running, I think, on either side of the aisle that there is maybe some corruption in peer. To what degree that's true, I think, is in the eye of the beholder. But certainly candidates are running on the message that they don't want any more of that corruption. They don't want status quo. You hear that from both Democrats and Republicans, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But you still see that Republicans dominate in the state voter registration. And while some might not be happy with elected officials and peer, they're still likely to vote for other Republicans. So Republicans need to change their message, which I think some are doing. And it'll be a test to see whether the folks who are running with the same message as they've had in the past are going to have success with that, or whether it's a year of change and a year of removing the status quo, or whether people really like the status quo.
Right. Let's close with a little bit about the House candidate debate. So those folks have gotten together. We've heard a little bit more about what they have to say. Noel, your impressions about how that House race is going?
Well, as I've said before, I think the candidates on both sides are two of the best candidates that we've seen. I did have a chance to stop by the political tent on Saturday and visit with candidate Bjorkman, who gave me a hard time because I said to him, I just have one question for you, candidate Bjorkman, and then I asked him a question about when he was going to write a sequel to his book. And he sort of laughed at me, and he says, "That's the best you've got, Hamill. Is that mm-hmm. the best you've got?" And I, what could I say? I said, "Well, I'm retired. I'm out of practice."
And I liked the book, yeah.
And I loved the book. It's the priorities, if I remember right. You know, Dusty Johnson, his opponent, said that he wouldn't vote for any House Speaker candidate that wasn't pretty concrete about how to balance the budget, federal budget, and he was also emphasizing agriculture and getting on the Ag Committee. Bjorkman, his top priority was health care reform. He wanted to make sure everybody in South Dakota had access to health care. You know, how do you argue with those priorities? I mean, they're both good candidates. They're smart. I really like this race, but I think now that Labor Day is over and we're heading down the final stretch to November, I think now is when it's really going to get interesting.
Right. Dana, two smart campaigns there, it seems.
I would agree, and I think they've been pretty honest about the fact that they both see it now as very much a campaign of the issues. Mm-hmm. We're going to see some debates, even beyond the one held at the state fair, that get into the really nitty-gritty of policy right. details, of what they want to see in a farm bill, what trade negotiation should look like, of what health care needs to be. And that's not always the campaign that we get to see.
Right.
So it'll be one where South Dakotans really get to know these candidates and get to know what policy platforms they're bringing to D.C. if they're elected.
Interesting stuff. Dana Ferguson is a Sioux Falls Argus Leader watchdog government reporter. You can find her work at argusleader.com. Noel Hamill, former South Dakota legislator and member of the South Dakota Newspaper Hall of Fame. Thank you both so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Lori.